From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate. A pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beats California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And welcome to Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, as we get set to bring you our exclusive coverage of the world's richest horse race, the $12 million Pegasus World Cup, which comes up later this afternoon. And we are happy to kick it off overlooking that paddock area where the horses for the Pegasus will be saddled later today. And it's going to be a spectacular afternoon of racing. Mike Penna alongside the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our man, retired jockey Jeff Bloom, who is with us for the coverage later today and with us this morning here on the Equine Forum. Gentlemen, good morning and happy Pegasus Day.
Yeah, what an event this has turned out to be. It's
a spectacle.
A spectacle.
It's all coming together.
We hope.
Oh, yeah, everything's in order here. We've got the banner up to take the pictures, and we've got all the fancy trappings of a big day here. Security very, very tight.
Yep.
You know what I'm waiting for?
What's that?
The sun. Some warmth. We're in South Florida.
You're wearing, I am shaking.
It's cool. A
suit coat. You have iron poor blood. You need some Geritol, dude.
Feel my hands. Feel my hands. Are they cold? My hands are cold. I didn't ask you to hold my hands. Feel it.
I didn't know what to do.
started caressing my hand.
I was trying to warm up.
He wants a hug.
Well, sometimes you just need one, dude.
There are people around the country dealing with frigid temperatures and snow this morning.
Yeah,
so we don't want to make it sound like we're complaining about 59 degrees right now, which is what it is.
No, I am.
It will be cooler than normal here in South Florida. They had a cold front come through yesterday. Temperatures expected to be right around 70 to 72 this afternoon.
So ideal
conditions.
It should
be absolutely perfect for the World Cup. Fast main track, firm turf course, 12 horses, $7 million to the winner. And this is a concept, guys, that was announced last May. As a matter of fact, I sat in on the press conference when they announced it at Pimlico Preakness Week, and I can remember the excitement that it generated early on. And then it seems like it's just been growing ever since. And now that we get a chance to see California Chrome square off with Arrogate here in this $12 million race, they couldn't have asked for anything better in this inaugural, could they, JT?
No. I mean, it's amazing how it all came together, and you've got the two best horses in the world squaring off. It's an opportunity to see California Chrome one last time. Otherwise, without this race, he would have already been at TaylorMade getting ready to breed, but they want to run in this race, obviously. There's 7 million reasons to do so, and it's a brilliant move, perfect timing, a nice prep for the Dubai World Cup later on. Lots of things to like about this race, and they couldn't have gotten two better horses to kick it off.
Yeah, to talk about the concept, it turns out it's a great idea, and so much of what goes into making this a success, there's a lot of moving pieces, timing, right? Because you can't have too much conflict with the Breeders' Cup. You got to have horses come out of that, the kind of horses that would run in a race like this. So the timing has to work. As you mentioned, the Dubai World Cup.
Yep.
The icing on the cake, not only for the folks that put this race together, but for the racing fans, is the fact that we got so lucky, and now you have the matchup between Arrogate and California Chrome. Location, you couldn't have better conditions. You got perfect weather. The setting's great. So it all came together perfectly, and it seemed like, how's this going to work when you first heard about it? And, you're trying to figure out, who's going to run in it, and how does the, what are the mechanics of the race? But when it's all said and done, so far, so good. It's really come together well.
And some people have questioned, at least I've received this question quite a bit from people when they hear the concept that, okay, each owner had to put up $1 million to buy that starting gate position, okay? So 12 owners, 12 horses, that's where the $12 million purse comes from. People have asked me, why on earth would you put up $1 million to enter your horse and run against the two best horses, arguably, in the world with California Chrome and Arrowgate? What makes somebody do that, JT?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a year-to-year thing. I mean, it's this year we have those two horses. Next year we're going to have a whole different set of horses.
Yep.
And it's a more of a long-term investment, if you want to call it that. You don't even have to be an owner. Anybody could have that had the money could have purchased a starting gate stall. That's like exactly what you get. You get a spot in the race. There's 12 shareholders, 12 spots in the race. So anybody could have purchased that on speculation. And if this race continues to grow and the purse gets bigger and all that, it's going to be a decent investment possibly. The other thing is we have a lot of people in racing that are sporting. And they thought, hey, this is a really cool idea. I want to be a part of it. I want to be involved somehow. And you don't even have to have a good horse to utilize that starting gate. You make a deal with somebody that has a good horse that doesn't have a spot in the gate.
Yep.
So it allows more people to participate. And, you know, yes, it's a game for high rollers, but horse racing is basically that anyway. So you've got to, you know, take the good with the bad. And I think it's a novel concept, but it's one that racing certainly has embraced.
Yeah, up until the last minute, there was a lot of back-end negotiating going on. And this is horse racing. A lot of things can change on a daily basis. So you may have the ideal horse, the perfect horse that you have set up to run in this race. And guess what? Something happens, and now you've got an open slot. There's other horses out there that might not have a slot. You may own that position. So it's almost like the racing side of it, as important as it is, because it's a horse race, is secondary because it is an investment, as you say, Jude. And so there's opportunity here for the individual stakeholders to capitalize on the investment as this thing grows. And it does make it really intriguing, right? Because some of the horses that are running today, they weren't going to run if there were other horses that they could have worked out deals with those connections of those particular horses to take over the slot that individual stakeholder had. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And, of course, you're going to hear that Pegasus World Cup later this afternoon exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, our coverage 4 to 6 Eastern Time. And you can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 93 and, of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And you can access that streaming coverage on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, whatever it might be. So find us anywhere that you may be later this afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern, and tune into that coverage. That kicks off our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. We're going to be with you every single Saturday from now through the Florida Derby on April 1st. You're going to hear all of the great racing action here at Gulfstream throughout the championship meet and all of that stakes racing coverage presented by our friends at the FTBOA, the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. So our thanks to their support for making all that possible. Coming up over the course of the next 2 hours, you're going to hear from jockey Javier Castellano. I had a chance to sit down with the 5-time Gulfstream riding champion and talk to him about going to the post and trying to slay the dragon, so to speak, in this year's Pegasus. He's aboard Longshot Keen Ice. You're going to hear from Javier coming up in just a few minutes. Hall of Famer Mike Smith took the time to sit down with Jeff earlier, and that interview was spectacular. Don't miss some of the things that Mike has to say about Arrowgate and looking back on last year's Breeders' Cup Classic. In the hour number two, we're going to be joined by Lonnie Powell, who is the CEO and Executive Vice President of the FTBOA. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream, will join us. And Frank Hopf, who is with the Sam Houston Racing Association. Sam Houston, he is the Senior Director of Racing of Operations there at Sam Houston. They have a huge night tomorrow night, and he's going to tell you all about that toward the end of the program. So a lot of things to get to. Before we get to that first break, though, let's throw out our poll question, and here it is. And you can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter, and, of course, you can also weigh in on our Facebook page, Horse Racing Radio Network. We want to know, you can have Arrowgate, you can have California Chrome, or you can have the field. Those are your three choices. We'll put them up there as three separate choices on our Twitter feed. You can vote to bet on Arrowgate, California Chrome, or the field. Who are you taking in this year's Pegasus World Cup? And if you do take the field, specify which horse you think can pull off the upset. We want to hear from you, HRN Nation, and we'll update those poll questions throughout the show. We're back to hear from Javier Castellano right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina's Spring Stallion Macho Uno is off to a flying start in 2017. Currently the leading sire in North America with three black type winners already.
A thrilling finish in the Sunshine Millions Classic. Here's the wire. It's too close to call. Nauset Beach had the lead, but the bob went to High Riverside. Inside the final furlong, Tommy Macho and Luis Saez. Macho indeed, they're much the best. They won it by five in the end.
In addition, Macho Uno was recently represented by Starship Tribbles, an easy maiden special weight winner in Florida, drawing off to win by 6 1/4 lengths. Small Bear, a 3-year-old winner of an allowance race at Parks, the second consecutive win for Small Bear, who is owned by Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. And the promising 3-year-old Billy Treble, a winner of a maiden special weight in her debut for trainer Ron Moquette. And Macho Uno's 16 stakes winners from 2016 include new multimillionaire Dannon Legend. Macho Uno, standing at Adina Springs.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeder Sales is the 2-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
American Pharaoh has lost the lead at the top of the stretch. Frosted on the outside is now in front, but American Pharaoh is battling on from the inside. He's showing all this fight with one furlong to run. And here on the far outside comes Keen Ice with a late threat. American Pharaoh put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharaoh in a dramatic upset. Frosted. Frosted was third, and Upstart was fourth, and a final time of 201.57 seconds. The Graveyard of Champions has claimed another.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Traverse Stakes from last year at Saratoga. That race taking place on August 29th of 2015, believe it or not. I said last year, but going back a couple of years now to 2015 with that Traverse and Keen Ice upsetting Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. Hard to believe that Keen Ice has not won since that Traverse Stakes. He is 0-for-8, but he has been knocking on the door against some good competition. He's going to go postward today as one of the long shots taking on California Chrome and Arrowgate in the Pegasus World Cup and seeing if he can snap that 0-for-8 skid. And, boy, you talk about having your work cut out for you. But, guys, he had his work cut out for him when he went against American Pharoah in the Traverse, and it didn't seem to matter that afternoon.
Well, the race kind of set up for him that day, and they probably should have retired him.
Looking back, hindsight 2020.
Looking back.
But it's not like he's been a disgrace since
no,
then.
No, he's run some okay races.
Yeah. I
mean, he's not really in the class of the other two, but, you know, they don't run the races on paper, as we know. Nobody thought he would win the Traverse, and, you know, nobody thinks he's going to win the Pegasus.
He's probably going to be the favorite of the weirdo long shots, if you will, in the race. And like Jude said, I mean, the race set up perfectly for him that day when he beat American Pharoah, but it set up perfectly for some other horses that were in the race as well, you could argue. And so he's a good horse, but, you know, to Jude's point, I mean, he's not at the level of a California Chrome and an Arrogate, but who knows what'll happen? I mean, until they run the race, we don't know how the pace is going to set up and what pressure might be put on the front end. So he's a horse that definitely has talent, and the way he runs, he's going to be in the exotics, right? Because he's going to make a run coming down the stretch, and if things fall apart a little bit, he's going to be right there to pick up some of the pieces.
Mike Pennett, Jude Fell, Jeff Bloom, and our producer, Sean C., we are high above the paddock area here at Gulfstream Park on the second level, just outside of Ten Palms Restaurant, and getting set for the $12 million Pegasus World Cup. Keen Ice trying to knock off the two heavy hitters in the sport today with Arrowgate and the world's richest thoroughbred in California Chrome. And he is going to be ridden by five-time leading jockey here at Gulfstream Park. That's Javier Castellano. And earlier I had an opportunity to sit down with Javier, and I started by asking him, look, in the Breeders' Cup two starts ago, Keen Ice was third behind Arrowgate and California Chrome, but he was 11 lengths behind that duo. How do you make up 11 lengths this afternoon?
Well, you see how developed the race. I know this is two great horses in the country. You know, he showed up the last time, he's very consistent. Hopefully they can develop the race and the way you fold the race. Hopefully they do the right thing. I mean, it looked like to me a little pace in the race. Hopefully those two horses, they go pretty quick in the first quarter, you know, maybe even the second quarter, and start my horse. He come from behind style.
Keen Ice is a horse that always seems to be knocking on the door against some pretty good horses. I mentioned that third in the Breeders' Cup. The last time he won, though, was when you rode him in the Traverse at Saratoga and he upset Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. As a jockey, is there anything that Javier Castellano can learn by going back and watching that race and seeing how he responded that day that might help you on Saturday?
Well, nothing you can do. That's his style. He's come from behind horses. You don't want to change his style. That's the best skill for the horse, and you don't want to be put it away, chases all the horses to try to get it done. I mean, you got to go with the flow. You got to be smart, try to ride smart, be focused in the race. You got to see how the horses, they start developing the first quarter mile, like you say. And we see how he can get up. I mean, we all the best jockey in the country is going to participate in the race, the best horses in the country, and we are here in South Florida, one of the best track in the country.
And you know, this is a race that's going to be held right in your backyard. You've won the riding title here at Gulfstream five consecutive years, and now California Chrome and Arrowgate have to come all the way from the West Coast to compete on your home track. How big of an advantage is that for you?
It's a big advantage because you are in home and your hometown. You know, the weather is a little hot over here, and you have to travel different state to come all the way over here, especially East Coast to West Coast. You know, it's a long trip. But the horses, the athletes, they they know what to do, and we the jockeys also too. Hopefully, you know, I've been praying for that race a lot. Hopefully everything going the right way for me. I mean, I'm looking forward to big time. It's a great horse, great training, great owner. It's one of the best in right now next Saturday.
A lot's been made about the post position draw and the fact that Arrowgate has to break from post 1 and California Chrome has to break from post 12. Tell me about riding and running a mile and an eighth here at Gulfstream. Why is that such a big deal to be in post 1 or post 12?
Yes, it is. I mean, you don't want to be bury yourself inside post, but you don't want to be way too wide in the first turn too also. I think so far I've been very lucky, fortunate. I have a great post. How is he ended up? That's a whole race. Anything happen in the race, you got to go with the flow. You got to be focused. You got to do your job. And we see how Mike Smith is a great Hall of Fame rider, great jockey. I see how he's going to do with that spot. And I would like to see, you know, Victor Pinoza, who won the Triple Crown race. He won a lot of Kentucky Derby. He's a great, great jockey, great skill. He had to put himself in good spot in the race in the beginning. He don't want to end it out too wide. I don't want to tell you how he ride, but at the same time, I mean, I don't want to be in that position way outside.
You think that maybe opens the door for a horse like Keen Ice or one of the other lesser regarded horses in there? Does it maybe help your cause a little bit knowing that they're in those other post positions?
Always help. Those are little detail. And the end of the day, it's going to give you a little better result. I think you have to everything going the right way. Great post. Hopefully you have find a good position in the race and take it from there.
If you had your choice and it came down to post 1 or post 12, which one is Javier Castellano hoping to get?
Number 5.
Well said. Well, you got number 9 with Keen Ace. Go get him and get it done. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Not going to trip up Javier Castellano with that question. Number 5. That would be just fine for him. He gets post 9 with Keen Ace. And, you know, you heard him talk about it. One thing that I really wanted to get into with him is the fact that this is a different configuration here. When you go a mile and an eighth at Gulfstream Park on the dirt, you come out of the gate and you have a very short run to that first turn, meaning that if you're down toward the inside or you're hung on the far outside, a lot of bad things can happen if you don't break well. And Jeff, as a former jockey, you know that better than anybody.
Well, this is one of the trickiest a mile and an eighth starts that there is, you know, in the industry, because you're in the turn and you don't have that extra, say, eighth of a mile to make up to that extra real estate, you know, for some of these horses that are mile and a quarter horses. And you can lose such precious momentum and energy either having to hustle to get yourself into position or by getting hung wide. You're just wasting a lot of energy. And so this is one of those times where post positions, they're critical. But things happen at the start of a race, too. You know, a horse stumbles, a horse doesn't break that's supposed to, or a horse sends that normally doesn't. And you have all those variables. But one thing you know for sure, if you're breaking from post 12, there's no way to sugarcoat it. You're hung out there extremely to the outside, and guess what? You're going to have some problems in that first turn no matter what. So this is very much a jockey's race, too. But as Javier mentioned, you've got the world's best jockeys here in this race. They all know how to ride, and they've all ridden this track. So it's going to make it a challenge in terms of overcoming some of those posts, in particular the inside horse, Arrowgate with the 1, and the outside 12, California Chrome.
I know, JT, you don't believe in post positions having an effect on the running of the race, especially with horses like California Chrome and Arrowgate, who are on paper far superior to their competition in this race today. Is there any concern with Chrome being drawn to the outside, Arrowgate being drawn to the immediate inside?
I think the concern's really more for Arrowgate than it is California Chrome, and I know that's kind of counter to what a lot of pundits have been saying, but being down inside, there's so many more things that can go wrong, in my opinion. If you break slowly, you're automatically shuffled back sometimes to dead last. The inside here hasn't been all that great. You see the jockeys, you know, finishing in the middle of the track a lot of times. You know, I wouldn't be too thrilled with the rail if I got it. And for California Chrome, I think the outside is ideal. You know, in races where he's drawn the rail, people have said, oh, you know, he doesn't like running inside. It's terrible. He drew the rail. He's probably not going to win. Yeah, well, that worked out good for him, didn't it? So yeah. I just feel like from the outside, Victor's going to be able to do what he wants, even if the horse breaks a little tardy. It's not like it's a turf race. It's a nice sweeping turn. I mean, he should be able to find a decent position. And California Chrome, you know, he doesn't need to be on the lead. He doesn't need to be second. He doesn't need to be third. He can run from any place. So I think, you know, being outside is a little bit of an advantage in that regard. Even though the configuration kind of sucks, it's just the way that it is. But I don't think it's going to bother him.
Well, many of his races, in fact, almost all of them, certainly in the last couple of years, he's wide. I mean,
look at the race at Los Alamitos.
Right. I mean, he was always out on the outside rail.
California Chrome, he doesn't want to be inside of horses, right? We've always heard that about him.
But they got their wish here.
Yeah, he won't be inside of anybody, at least if he is, then there's really big problems there. He should be in the clear on the outside, and Jude's always saying keep him in the clear, and that should be to his advantage.
And that's worked for him. And barring any unforeseen weird circumstances happening coming into that first turn, yeah, he's going to be in the clear on the outside, and that's where they want him. They've proven, or California Chrome has proven time and time again, that he is the world's richest racehorse for good reason. He's a good racehorse. And so I don't think it's an ideal situation for him to be hung out extremely wide in that first turn. With that said, I agree with you. It's probably a better post position to have than being stuck down on the inside. And Arrogate isn't the quickest horse out of the gate always either. So it does create a problem for jockey Mike Smith in terms of making sure that he just doesn't get caught up in a scruffle there coming into that first turn.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than being like in the 6 or 7 hole and getting sandwiched leaving the gate, right? Why would you want that? You know, let's say California Chrome, he moves into the 6 or 7. Does he want horses on both sides of him? You know, could affect his free path.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's nice.
Well, let's throw this one out there for people that are handicapping this race and maybe concerned about Arrogate breaking from the one hole if you're an Arrogate fan. He's done that on 2 different occasions throughout his 6-race career where he's broken from post 1. He's won those 2 races by a combined 18.25 lengths, including that track record performance winning by 13 in the Travers 2 starts back last summer at Saratoga. So Arrogate can handle the inside post. He has one of the greatest jockeys in the world, Mike Smith, aboard, so no concerns there. We're going to hear from Hall of Famer Mike Smith in the next segment when we come back, but first it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky, and if you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, you go see Tony Ottiano, the Godfather, and all the great folks at the Lexus store. They will take care of you. They're right there at the Lexus store of Lexington. We're back with Mike Smith right after this.
Racing for his breeder, Mrs. Phipps Wheatley Sable, this horse won the juvenile, youthful, and the futurity as a 2-year-old. At 3, he was horse of the year after chalking up scores in the Flamingo, Wood Memorial, Preakness, Bahamas, Trenton, Queens County, Vosburgh, and Benjamin Franklin handicaps. He equaled the track record in the Bahamas in going the 7 panel distance in 1:22 flat. He set a new track record in winning the Vosburgh 7 furlongs in 1:21.4, a new track record for 9 furlongs in copping the Flamingo in 1:47 flat, and went the same distance in nailing down the Wood in 1:48.4. As a 3-year-old, are you listening out there, horseman? He was asked to shoulder 136 pounds in winning the Ben Franklin. He packed 130 in the Vosburgh, the highest weight ever shouldered by a 3-year-old in that event. At the age of 4, he won the Toboggan under 133 pounds, the Carter under 135, the Stymie packing 133, and the Suburban and the Monmouth toting 134 pounds. When he hung up his running shoes, as it were, he had started 33 times and had won 23 with 4 seconds and 2/3. He became the leading sire with only 2 crops of racing age in 1963, and his stud services very quickly rose to the level of almost being beyond affordability. His reign as leading North American sire for 7 consecutive seasons was not only heretofore unmatched, but not even remotely approached at that time in the 20th century. Bull Lee and Lexington had stood alone in their time, but this horse literally dwarfed all his competitors in the breeding shed in terms of successive progeny on the racetrack. There was a question raised from time to time regarding his ability to impart stamina to his get, although he had won in the 1 3/16 mile Preakness and the 1 1/4 mile Trenton, Suburban, and Monmouth handicaps. The vast majority of his get exhibited blazing speed on the racetrack. There were a number of his get, however, that could be classified as stayers, including among those would be Lamb Chop, Bateur, Bull Bitter, Stahanas, Bull Dower, Dewan, Successor, and Gamely, just to name a few. They were all winners in stakes company at 1¼ miles or better. He was a leading sire of two-year-olds for 5 seasons, 3 of those consecutively. The uninterrupted 8-year reign at stud for this horse, and 12 years in all, including that of his sire Nazrella, is a record to this day for a father-son combination. His progeny often did not have extended racing careers. They were too valuable at stud. Just hearken to this list in addition to those already mentioned, and really, time precludes doing due justice to this prodigious and lengthy compilation. Bull Commander, Bull Princess, Speedwell, Bull Queen, Beautiful Day, Chieftain, Bull Lad, Time for Bed, Cornish Prince, Bold Experience, Jacinto, Staunchness, Jove, Bold Nesian, Queen Empress, Great Power, My Boss Lady, Disciplinarian, Master Bull, What a Pleasure, Big Advance, Virginia Delegate, Irish Castle, Raja Baba, Plum Bold, and on. In a word, absolutely awesome. This particular titan of the turf was foaled at Claiborne April 6, 1954, and that was a most noteworthy indeed day for that farm and racing as a whole. You see, 1/2 hour after this foal was dropped, another foal was brought into the racing world who in time on the racetrack became the world's leading money winner, Round Table. The marvelous thoroughbred that has been the subject of this dissertation went his way to the great paddock in the sky July 12, 1971, and with him went a remarkable record on the racetrack and in the breeding shed. He was Bold Ruler.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a 6-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamarcos can't get by him.
and Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Kuz in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Arrogate, the solitary three-year-old, is sweeping after him in earnest as they race well clear of Melatonin. Frosted is next from Keen Ice. Top of the stretch, California Chrome is a length in front, but he faces an uncommon opponent today. Arrogate tries hard to reel in California Chrome. California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome. They were 10 lengths clear of Keen Ice, and Opportunity was fourth. Back in fifth position would be Melatonin.
And welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom all getting you set for that $12 million Pegasus World Cup and that rematch from the Breeders' Cup Classic between Arrogate and California Chrome. The first time the two have met since Arrogate defeated Chrome at Santa Anita. Michael Rona had the call of that race coming out of the break for you right there, and boy, it does bring back some amazing memories. And Gulfstream is really dressed to the nines. It's like we've never seen before. You know, Florida Derby Day is always their signature day. It's always a big day of racing here in South Florida. But, Jude, this is like nothing we've ever seen. There's actually over to our right, and again, we're overlooking the walking ring on the second level of Gulfstream. Over to our right is a big Pegasus board that celebrities and stars that are going to be in attendance today will stop and have their picture taken in front of. There's a not a red carpet, but a blue carpet here at Gulfstream this afternoon.
Yeah, blue seems to be the color of the Pegasus World Cup International. Invitational, rather. Jeff got me started this morning. And, yeah, it's a great day. One thing I'm missing is the flowers that they have on Florida Derby Day. The Florida Derby flowers are just outstanding, and I haven't seen them yet. Maybe they're going to bring them out a little later.
Maybe a little too early in the season for those.
Well, that could be too.
Yeah, we're a couple months away from that Florida Derby. Of course, that's all part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series presented by the FTBOA. It begins this afternoon, 4 Eastern, with that coverage of the Pegasus World Cup. Make sure you're tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 93 and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Post time for the Pegasus, 5:40 Eastern time. You had an opportunity this week, Jeff, to sit down and talk with Hall of Famer Mike Smith, who is going to be aboard Arrogate. And I talked about it before the commercial break. Here's a horse that breaks from the inside, but he's done that twice in his career, and they've been flawless performances.
Well, they have a couple of things here. Arrogate might be one of the best horses any of us have ever seen, so there's just immense talent there.
Yep.
And you've got one of the best jockeys we've ever seen. Mike Smith has done it all, and he's still doing it all. And he knows this horse well, rides him with confidence. So it's a great dynamic combination there. And, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit. Would they have picked the one post? No, they wouldn't have. But can he overcome it? Absolutely.
Yeah, Mike Smith, nobody better in a big race than Mike. And here's what he had to say when you took the time to visit with him earlier this week.
Take us back to this year's Breeders' Cup Classic and your ride on Arrogate, if you would.
Well, I mean, it was a really good scenario for me. I mean, the way the race set up, I thought early on going into the race, I thought maybe I'd have to be a bit aggressive just to make sure that he had some, you know, some company up there on the front end. You can't let a good horse like that just walk. And when I saw Melatonin break as well as he did and kind of keep him some company anyway, I was able just to put my hands down and relax a little bit going into that first turn, and then kind of get into in behind Miltonen and into a spot where, you know, they couldn't really see me and know when I was going to make my move or know where I was at. And then going into the far turn, I was able just to drop down in there, and man, and when I did, he accelerated. And good thing he did, because when we headed for home, when Victor asked his, you know, chrome to run, I mean, he dropped. He hit another gear. So, but Ben's that I've been on this colt one time before in the Traverse, I knew that he had a turn of foot himself, and he has a stamina that's never ending, it seems like. So I knew I was going to just keep coming at him and hopefully at some point be able to run him down.
Yeah, I guess California Chrome isn't the easiest horse in the world to run down, but at the same time, like you said, you knew you had a lot of horse and you were picking up steam. Were you ever concerned at any point about how much real estate was left?
Going down the backside, you know, of course I was a little, but once we went into the turn and I was able to make up four or five lengths real quick like I did, and knowing that I still had more in the tank, I was confident that he was gonna make a race of it. If I could get by him or not, I wasn't sure. You know, you really don't know, because I know the turn of foot that Chrome has, and sure enough, he hit another gear and got away from me there for a minute. But once I got into him left-handed a little, then went back to the right hand, he hit another one himself, and it was pretty much over at that point, you know.
The Chrome Connections know they have a target on their back coming into the Pegasus Cup. Without giving too much away, can you talk about strategy coming into this next race?
Yeah, I mean, it's out there, man. It's black and white. Depending on where we draw, you certainly want to draw well going at a mile and eighth at Gulfstream, because you break so close to the first turn. So depending on where we draw, but depending on how we leave the gate, you know, hopefully we jump very well. And my horse is fast. He's faster than he was in the Classic. You've seen him go at 46 in the Traverse, so he can definitely do something like that if I need to. And I won't really know that until I see the draw, Jeff, and then once we, you know, I mean, I could say I'm going, but what if you don't, you know, break? I got to go to plan, you know, B and C. So, but yeah, I would certainly, you know, get him out of there, and I'd like to be in contention with him, a place to go and be able to let him run when I want to. If that's the case, I'll be happy. Where that's going to put me in the first part of the race, I'm really not sure. We'll just have to wait and see. But if I can just let him run when I want to, I'll be beside myself.
The weather's been a bit of a challenge here in Southern California, and Bob Baffert's had his hands somewhat tied in terms of when he can work the horse. And you typically, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't get on the horse in the mornings for his workouts, but I believe you've been out to watch him train when he has had his last couple of workouts.
Yeah, I watch him quite a bit, actually, especially his works. I get to watch him quite a bit. And no, I don't get on him in the morning, which is fine with me. I like getting on him when it counts. He's such a straightforward horse and a great horse to ride that you don't necessarily have to get on him to get to know him. Matter of fact, he might get to know me too well if that was the case. I like it the way it's been so far. It's worked. We've gotten the two most important works in, which is a big plus. One was a little bit late, but we did get it in, and we got this last work in, which was another major work, and this last one was right on. It was dynamite.
The world of horse racing has what I'd call an epic rematch, if you will. If you take the Breeders' Cup Classic, California Chrome, and Arrogate coming into the inaugural World Cup, there's so much excitement, there's so much hype, and rightly so. Do you get caught up in the hype and the excitement of an event like this for the rematch?
Well, I'm excited about it. I won't let it get into my head right now. It's just too early. I need to rest. But yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't. I think you wouldn't be human if you didn't get caught up into it. You know, that energy is good energy to have. It's just, it depends on how you use it. I mean, you can use it to a default, and you can use it to really help you. And I absolutely embrace it. I love it. It makes me focus. I mean, it makes me deep focus. I don't even hear anything out there whenever that kind of race is running. I mean, I'm just so zoned in on what I got to do and who I have to beat it at the time. And so, I can't wait. You know, I'm approaching it like another Breeders' Cup Classic, to be honest with you.
Another Breeders' Cup Classic with a little bit more money attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
Double the Classic, I mean, which is incredible. You know, now going in, we're going an eighth of a mile shorter. Jeff, as you well know, probably swings the favoritism to his side, I would say. One thing on my that could help us on our behalf would be the big turns that they have there, big, sweeping, Belmont-like turns, which could help a big horse like mine out a lot, especially if he runs so well on that side on his left lead. So that could help us as well.
Mike, your resume is remarkable. I mean, Hall of Famer for good reason. You've accomplished virtually everything a jockey could accomplish in this game. If you can, compare Arrogate to some of the champions that you've ridden in the past and describe for us, if you will, how special this horse is. We hear a lot about how fluid his stride is. He's got a big, long stride to him.
Well, he just gets up underneath himself so easy for a big horse. Zenyatta used to do that, you know. So I could compare as far as that goes. For such big horses, they really get up underneath themselves, and there's a lot of push. They never get long. Sometimes big old horses, you'll ask them to run, they kind of get long on you and stretch out. These horses actually, I mean, they get up underneath themselves and they accelerate. The thing that he has is just it's different, and I don't know if I've ever had this before, Jeff. I never had a horse with this kind of air. He just doesn't seem to stop, man. And then you gallop out, and he just keeps on going. And then, I mean, you have to make him stop after a mile and a quarter. And then he, one breath, and he turns around like, that was it. I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, most horses hang their head, as you well know, man. I mean, for a good 2-3 seconds anyway before they even think about turning around. And he's just got a lot of stamina, you know.
Yeah, he's a special horse, and we fortunately got to see that in the Breeders' Cup Classic. It sounds like he's training as good as ever coming into this race. Do you concern yourself much at all with the way the race, I mean, we talked earlier about how you envision the race shaping up. There's going to be some new hitters in this race, and it's a big pot, so obviously people are going for a lot of money. I would imagine that there's going to possibly be more speed in the race, which could potentially help some of the other horses in the race, including yours. Do you concern yourself much with who the other horses are going to be in this race, or is it more just about knowing your horse and riding your own race?
Well, it's all that. You concern yourself with everything. I mean, in these kind of races, you know, this much talent in a race, I mean, every step's very important. So, man, I concern myself with how he's standing in the gate, how that first step is out of the gate, you know, where I can get him going into the first turn. And if I can do that part right, the rest just kind of falls into place, you know, where you can get him into that big old rhythm. And if I can, you know, have a place for him to go when I want him to, because, you know, sometimes you can make a mile and eighth race into a mile and quarter race, if you know what I mean. In other words, you could get a little brave early with a horse like this, you know, and make it a longer run instead of just a sprint home. So that could be something that I'm going to be thinking about if I get the opportunity, you know, and if I feel that I need to. Again, he could be, it wouldn't shock me if he's on the lead.
Much is said about Mike Smith getting on the back of a trainer's horse. Trainer doesn't really have to talk much to Mike Smith about the instructions, what they want you to do, because you know what you're doing. Do you see a lot of discussion between yourself and Bob Baffert prior to the running of the race?
I mean, you pretty much know the competition going in, and you know your horse's strengths and everyone else's as well. And, you know, I mean, it's going to fall into place, and he puts his trust in me, and you know, it's like he needs to tell me where to be and what to do. I mean, he knows I know who to beat and what needs to be done to beat him, and he ain't the only one in there I'm going to have to beat. So, you know, I'm blessed to ride for a man like that, that has that kind of confidence in you, that's such a great, unbelievable horseman and has his horses so ready. Makes my job a whole lot easier, and it's fun when I know that he's put the reins in my hand and lets me do what I think needs to be done.
That's Mike Smith, everybody. Best of luck to you, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
How good is that guy? How good is Mike Smith? Boy, and he was engaged in that interview with you, Jeff, and he gave you some great stuff, some things I had never heard before from any jockey. And one thing that stood out to me, he talked about how you can sometimes make a mile and an eighth race a mile and a quarter race. And he was very candid, and he said that extra or that shorter eighth of a mile in this race as opposed to what they ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic where it was a mile and a quarter probably gives the advantage to Chrome, but he's going to try and make this mile and an eighth race a mile and a quarter type race. Amazing. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, Mike's just the consummate professional. He's the best at what he does, and he's a good guy. And what's really interesting, too, when you listen to him talk about the race and the way it's going to unfold, he's just so good at what he does because he describes the other horses in the race and the other riders and where he needs to be to sort of hide his horse and who's going to be making a move, when they're going to be making the move. It's not just about being on the best horse and trying to find yourself in a good spot, but it's being aware of what the other guys are doing in the race and what those other horses are supposed to be doing as well. And also having a plan B and a plan C. He talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. So he's just a class act, you know, and it was really interesting too because, you know, when the microphone wasn't on, we were talking a little bit more about, you know, how he sees the race, you know, shaping up and what it means to be involved on these kinds of days. And he's still having a great time with all of this. I mean, he's just as excited probably as he was 25 years ago when he was getting on these horses and riding in races. And so he craves these opportunities. He enjoys it. He takes advantage of all these opportunities. And, you know, you said it earlier, Mike, in big game races, I mean, you want Mike Smith on the back of your horse because he's the guy that knows what he's doing.
Well, you can see he only won 56 races last year, but he won, like, I don't know, $40 million in purses or something. Yeah,
he
but,
won the right 56 races.
Yeah, but you can see why when you hear that interview, which was fantastic, by the way. Great job, Jeff.
Thank you.
But you know, it's the thought that he puts into it. You couldn't do that if you were a guy that won, you know, 375 races during the year. You couldn't put that kind of thought into every one. I mean, you could try, but, you know, he just really concentrates on the big stuff now, and it's really kind of cool to watch a guy. You know, he's like a maestro. He just really, you know, is in tune with what's going on in these big races, and it's really cool to listen to.
Yeah, and he talked about the big sweeping turns here at Gulfstream, and that's something you don't often hear. You hear it when you talk about Belmont, right? But you don't think about big sweeping turns here at Gulfstream Park.
I said it earlier in the show.
Yeah, but you don't think about that, though, right?
Well,
I mean, I think people, when they think of Gulfstream Park, they don't think of big sweeping turns.
Right. But it's a lot different configuration than other tracks.
Yep.
It's a different kind of track. And even though sometimes it can be speed favoring, I think you don't see those horses that are really good turn runners run as well here as they run other places.
You know, another interesting component of that interview or that discussion with Mike is, you know, look, he does have a horse that has some speed. So, you know, what's so great about having Mike on this horse is you don't know exactly what's going to happen when those gates open, but if he needs to, he can get his horse up on it. You know, he may very well be putting pressure on California Chrome. Who knows? But what we saw this horse do in the Travers, I mean, to go out there and set those kinds of fractions and continue to draw away from the rest of the field, this horse has stamina. There's no question about it. So it's a very, very interesting, very intriguing race, and I know that Mike's coming into it with a lot of confidence.
All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we're going to get you set for the second half of the program. We'll tell you about all the guests coming up in hour number two, which is a very busy second half of the show. And, guys, I want to get your thoughts on the most likely upsetter in today's field. If it's not going to be Chrome, if it's not going to be Arrogate, if one of the other 10 is going to pull off a bit of a shocker here this afternoon, who might that horse be? We'll find out and get your thoughts on that next when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home of the 2017 Pegasus World Cup.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and six times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
We've waited nearly four decades for a horse to conquer the American classics. He was worth the wait.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Standing at Coolmore America, home of champions.
This afternoon, Gulfstream Park plays host to the world's richest horse race, the $12 million Pegasus World Cup, featuring a rematch of the world's top two horses, Breeders' Cup Classic hero Arrowgate and Horse of the Year California Chrome, competing for a $7 million winner's share. First post for the 12-race program is 11:30 a.m. Eastern, so come out early to be part of history and place your bets on exciting wagers like the always popular Rainbow Six and a special $1 million guaranteed late pick four. Gulfstream Park, welcome to your playground.
Multiple Grade 1 winner First Samurai by Giants Causeway got off to a quick start at stud, siring Grade 1 winners in each of his first three crops. His talented son Lee captured the Grade 1 Don Handicap in record time and retired to stud with over $2.3 million in earnings. Sovereign Award winner Stacked Deck captured the Grade 3 Bulge Venture Stakes and Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes, both just a tick off track record times. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-54.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they move to the top of the stretch, it is Brainster and Breaking Lucky, and Frosted is still under a hand ride in the center of the track as he edges up to the leaders. And now, with a furlong to go, he is head and head for the lead. It is Frosted on the outside. A very confident ride here. Breaking Lucky and Move to Heat are done for the rail. Shaman Ghost is there too. Frosted's going to have to work for it. It's going to be a photo finish, and it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the Woodward in a photo with Move to Heat and Frosted. And then came Breaking Lucky in a final time of 1 minute 48.92 seconds in the Woodward.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Woodward at Saratoga last September. Shaman Ghost getting the victory by a head that afternoon over Mubtah Heej and Frosted, who was right there. A really good field in the Woodward, and Shaman Ghost able to get that Grade 1 victory. Shaman Ghost is back this afternoon as one of the longer shots in the field. Maybe not the longest shot for sure, because he does have a lot of talent. But Shaman Ghost, one of the horses that's going to have to try to upset Arrowgate and California Chrome. Once again, that coverage this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern time here on HRRN. That's 4 to 6 Eastern. You can hear it in both English and Spanish. The English broadcast available with myself and Jude and Jeff and Herb McCauley. We'll be here with you to bring you that coverage on SiriusXM Channel 93 and on our website at horseracingradio.net. Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma, and Hall of Fame jockey Ramon Dominguez will handle the Spanish coverage of the races from 4 to 6. And for those people looking for that coverage, you can tune in on our Spanish broadcast platform at hrrnenespanol.com. All right, I'm going to get a couple of selections from the boys here, so to speak, because we want to find out who the potential upsetter could be. But before we get to that point, guys, quick word for one of our sponsors, and that is the brand new Equestricon 2017. And if you're not ready for it, well, you better be, because Equestricon is the first ever customer-facing, fan-centric international racing convention and trade show. The point of the convention is to bring the entire industry together under one roof, open the doors to the fans, allowing unprecedented access and opportunities for engagement. And here's what you can expect when you go to Equestricon 2017, which is going to be held in Saratoga this August. The convention will be absolutely loaded with programming like live panels, workshops, meet and greets, entertainment, autograph signings, and appearances by racing authors and artists, as well as vendors. And you can get a full list of panels and panelists to many, well, really too many to even start talking about here in this commercial, but you can head over to Equestricon.com to learn more. And, of course, HRN is the proud official radio partner of Equestricon 2017. All right, potential upsetters in the Pegasus World Cup. JT?
Well, I think for me it's going to be Breaking Lucky. nice horse, training well, and Dean and Patty Reeves are friends of ours, friends of the show, and we wish them the best of luck. So I think that's where I'm going. I like that little horse. He's been doing quite well recently. Looks good in the flesh. So I'll take him.
How about if he had to take either Chrome or Arrowgate?
Tough call. I love Arrowgate. I think he's an amazing horse. But I think today conditions may favor Chrome. I mean, it's really a paper-thin line, but I think I'll go Chrome today.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, for an upset play, I'm right along Jude's pick there with Breaking Lucky. I think out of all the other horses in the race, I think the race sets up well. The horse has what I might call tactical speed to be in a good position. I think the horse is actually maybe even improving a little bit and has already shown he can run some big races. My other upset horse, I was going back and forth between the two, is the 7 Shaman Ghost. I also think is the other horse to sort of round out the exotics in the race. I like Jude, keep going back and forth. The race probably does set up a little bit better for California Chrome. Certainly love the connections, and it would be fun to see that horse get the win. But at the same time, I'm a big fan of Arrowgate, and I think he is one of the best racehorses any of us have ever seen, and he's just getting started. So I give the edge to Arrowgate today.
All right, post time 5:40 Eastern for that $12 million Pegasus World Cup, the world's richest horse race, and we are proud to bring it your way right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Also proud to bring you the second half of this show. That comes up next right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the red songbird, a soul-stirring deal. Forever unbridled, two-lace back bird. Songbird and beholder, beholder and songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together. Two most of all.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
But California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's two lengths in front. He's clear of Mr. Hicks battling on. Then for sure wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold.
Drake Fong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Drake Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish. But Drake Fong's the leader. Drake Fong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, rolling on from Gulfstream Park on this Pegasus World Cup morning. The Pegasus World Cup coming up this afternoon, 5:40 Eastern Time. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom with you this morning. We will be back at 4 o'clock Eastern Time to bring you that exclusive radio coverage of the $12 million Pegasus. Can't wait to get started with that coverage. Also going to be joined by our colleague, retired jockey Herb McCauley, to bring you that coverage here on HRN, so that should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to kicking that off later today. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Guys, some good stuff in the first half of the show. That interview with Javier Castellano, and then really good interview, Jeff, with Mike Smith. And some great things coming out there in terms of their take on the race, their perspective on how things might shape up. And, of course, once the gates open, all those plans go out the window. You're just riding at that point.
just riding for a pot of $12 million is all.
Yeah. $7 million winner's share.
I wonder if that has much of an effect. I've always thought that sometimes riders, when they're riding for big money, they get a little anxious. They move a little sooner. They want to make sure they don't leave anything on the table.
That's why you want a big money rider in Mike Smith.
that's exactly right. I'll tell you, as great as Angel Cordero was, I really feel he cost me a $1 million race back in the days when those weren't to be had very often. And I know he started sniffing that money at the eighth pole instead of waiting until the 16th. And It wasn't like your average race at Aqueduct on a Thursday, you know. It was a whole different kettle of fish.
Well, as we told you earlier, this afternoon's Pegasus World Cup broadcast begins our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. We will be here every single Saturday during the meet right through the Florida Derby on April 1st to bring you that exclusive radio coverage of all the major stakes races throughout the championship meet. All of that coverage presented by our friends at the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. That's the FTBOA. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Lonnie Powell, who is the CEO and Executive Vice President of that organization. Mike Nyman is going to be with us right around 9:25 Eastern Time, a popular guest here on the program. He's the Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream. He'll fill you in on everything you can expect, not only here on World Cup Day, but beyond, looking ahead to Florida Derby that comes up April 1st. And then Fred Hoff, who is the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston, will join us at the end of the program right around 9:45 Eastern Time, and he will get us set for a big, big night of racing at Sam Houston tomorrow. But first things being first, we welcome in Lonnie Powell, the CEO and Executive Vice President of the FTBOA. Lonnie, first of all, thanks for all the support, and happy Pegasus Day, my friend.
Good morning, guys. Happy Pegasus Day to you. Is this not a beautiful postcard day of Florida winter and a great time to go racing?
Outstanding time to go racing. And, you know, you think about South Florida racing and Florida racing in general, Lonnie. It's days like this when the sun shines so bright on the Sunshine State that really, I mean, everybody remembers these type of days and looks forward to them.
Absolutely. And the national TV coverage couldn't come at a better time. You know, this is the buzz. This is the time of year we don't hear people talking a lot about racing on a national basis. And every place I've been in the state over the last 2 weeks and outside the state, everybody's talking about Pegasus. So whenever our industry can come up with something innovative and put it in a backdrop like this, I mean, you got to get pumped up. Even though listening to you guys before I came on the air kind of sounded like reading from the book of Handicapper's Laments, you know, would have, could have, should have. That's what makes this game so darn fun, and you know, and you guys bringing attention to it out from Gulfstream and here in Florida is just a wonderful thing. We love your show, and we love to talk racing.
Well, Lonnie, we know what a day like this means to the industry as a whole, but how about for the Florida thoroughbred industry? What do big days like this, especially in your home state, mean to the Florida thoroughbred breeding industry?
Oh, they're huge all the way around. You know, our organization, the FTBOA, one of our mandates by law is to promote the thoroughbred industry, not just the breeding, which obviously is our core, but owning, tracks, everything, both within the state, outside the state, nationally, and then globally. National events, big-time events like this, like the Florida Derby, like our Florida Sire Stakes, you know, really help keep us out there in the ultimate echelon of awareness. And I'll just give you a real life example. I just came back from Tallahassee. I was here for Eclipse, drove to Tallahassee, testified for 2 days. The legislative session is getting ready to begin, and they're wanting to talk about racing and all the things related to it. One of the questions I was asked in front of a tourism and gaming panel of the House was, well, myself and the other four speakers invited, I was the only thoroughbred guy that was invited to speak, but was asked about what we mean to tourism. And did I have the perfect thing in my pocket? I could say this Saturday, richest race in the world, with people coming from all over the world and horse interest all over the world are coming right here to Florida. And they're buying, they're investing in the economy. They're staying at hotels. They're eating nice meals, and you know, they may very well come back and decide let's invest in the Florida racing specifically. So it's a great thing. And as you know, any of you guys that have been up in Ocala for the sales or anything like that, it's a microcosm there too. People from all over the world buying horses, including Florida breeds, and taking them all over the world. It's a big deal when we can have ourselves displayed as prominently as we are with the big races at Gulfstream and Tampa, and obviously some of the things we try to do at FTBOA. So it's a good thing. A rising tide lifts all boats is a corny saying, but when it comes to the racing industry, particularly thoroughbreds, I mean, it's really quite true.
Well, you see it around town here this week. It's quite a buzz. And as you mentioned, usually this time of year, it's not quite Derby season yet, and people are not really, you know, all that into racing. But you go into local stores, restaurants, wherever you are, people are talking about this Pegasus World Cup, and it's really great to see. It's enjoyable to have this much enthusiasm this early in the year.
You know, an example of that, I was walking around the other day in a non-racing area out here by the beaches, and went into a restaurant to grab lunch, and overheard people in the restaurant. Obviously, none of them really race trackers, and I would venture to say most of them not normal players or attendees. And they didn't even know how to quite describe what it was, but the big thing, they didn't know who I was, so I was just listening in like I always do with people talking about our sport. And all that, I kept hearing things like, you gotta go check it out, it could be crazy, you gotta be there to be seen, you know, it's a happening. So people, you know, and this is the soft time of the year, like you said, this is the tweener time where we're not quite Triple Crown crazy, the Breeders' Cup seems like a ways away. And to insert this right there in the racing map and get this kind of media attention and attention from the fans is just amazing. My tip's off to my old boss Frank Stronach on this one. It was an idea at first that sounded like it might not be achievable. It had a zillion different ways to be tough to pull off. And his team just has done a fantastic job. I mean, when you get the two best horses that are out there right now that are still running. To show up at your inaugural event. I mean, hey, let's face it. I think we all have to take a pause and say tip of the hat on that one.
Talking with Lonnie Powell, who is the CEO and Executive Vice President of the FTBOA, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Lonnie, you mentioned being in Tallahassee this past week and working on some legislative issues. What are some of the initiatives that the FTBOA in particular is working on here in the state of Florida?
Well, we've got the granddaddy of all issues that's been going on for several years, and that's the gaming expansion in Florida, particular tracks like Greyhound Tracks, High Life Frontons, and some quarter horse tracks, and even Calder race course that want to migrate from having a live racing obligation to just becoming mini casinos. Right now there is no agreed revenue flow back into the industry for those that do race live. So that's been something, you know, that kind of trumps all other issues. Now within that, there's a whole mixture of things we look at to bring more revenue to the pie and actually grow our industry. And we in Gulfstream and Tampa Bay in particular have been working closely on those kinds of things. The good news is, where a few years ago all the racing breeds were thrown together, there's very clear indication from the House and Senate, as I'd heard before going in and then my 2 days of testimony, they hold thoroughbred racing separate because they know that, you know, where we fit in the world, we're the second largest breeding jurisdiction in North America, you know, over $1.5 billion of economic impact, tens of thousands of jobs. But it doesn't make you feel any better to see these other breeds potentially, you know, becoming just mini casinos with no racing and what that does to the quarter horsemen, standard bred horsemen, the dogmen. But, you know, the one difference is their tracks don't want them. And Tampa Bay and Gulfstream want to run. They're racetracks. They want all the gaming revenue they can have to augment the program. We're part of that same economic model. So right now, I call it a matter of defending and protecting our industry, while also, if other breeds are going to be decoupled, making sure that they, as well as the tribes, have a price to pay to get into this gaming expansion, and that is to take care of those that decide to continue to run live, like Gulfstream Tampa and the FTBOA and the horse owners and so forth. So it's a very complicated issue, as you might imagine, just for us as racetrackers that know the game to get our arms around. Unfortunately, I got to say, I got my arms around it pretty tight after this many years. But, you know, trying to explain that to freshman legislators and people that aren't part of our industry. But I've got to say, I was extremely encouraged by the reception of the thoroughbred industry and to my remarks this past week. But you got to go after it every day. You never take anything for granted. You don't assume anything. You're on high alert, high prep. And it's going to be a long 6 weeks for our industry ahead. For me personally, that becomes my home away from home. And I'd rather go other places than Tallahassee. Nothing against the city, but I've seen enough of it in the buildings. Hopefully we're going to bring some calmness to this after this session and not have this be a reoccurring debate. But that's really what we're going after more than anything else. Of course, we've got some issues like trying to make sure our medication issues continue to ratchet up to where there's some of the strictest standards in the country, which we're about at right now. And always looking at opportunities to, again, help the business, help the industry.
Well, you guys have done a great job, and your stallion rosters around Florida have improved. You've got a lot of people looking at horses here all the time, lots of sale action. So it seems like a very bright future, and I'm glad the legislature's taking a look at everything that the thoroughbred industry does.
I appreciate those comments, and it is true. I think a lot of our education efforts, including, you know, our new economic impact studies from a couple of years ago, and just a lot of one-on-one time trying to walk people through the intricacies of our business and how it relates to the other gaming, it is very good to see leadership and members of both chambers really kind of saying, hey, you thoroughbreds, we get you. You're something special. You're a signature industry. But, you know, all that being said, it devil's in the details, and you just got to watch how these bills evolve. One's been officially launched now. I expect another one in a few weeks. And, you know, that's when the games begin. But, hey, I've done this for a long time in a lot of places. You know, that's why you, in football parlance, that's why you put the pads on and the chin strap on is – it's not meant to be a walk in the park every day, and we're up to the challenge. So I will say we'd just as soon get on to other issues at some point in time when it comes to the legislature.
Once again, Lonnie Powell from FTPOA joining us here on the Equine Forum. Don't forget our coverage kicking off this afternoon, 4 Eastern, with that live coverage, exclusive coverage of the Pegasus World Cup, and it kicks off our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series that includes races like next weekend's Holy Bull, the Fountain of Youth, and the Florida Derby on April 1st, Saturdays at Gulfstream, all presented by our friends at the FTBOA. Lonnie, when you go out and you talk to people about racing and breeding here in the state of Florida, give me your key components that you're covering with them and kind of the sales pitch, so to speak, that you present to them about coming here and racing and breeding in the state?
Well, you know, certainly always go back to our national position within the industry. I mean, everybody knows about Kentucky, and, as you know, I spent a long time in Kentucky myself, a great place for the thoroughbred industry, but people are really pleasantly surprised that here in Florida is number two. And with that, that's a great calling card to talk about the credibility of your industry and why it's worth investing in when you're the second largest breeding jurisdiction. I get into the economic impact, you know, all the jobs, how important it is to Florida, how we're one of the major export agricultural commodities in the state to other countries. Obviously, you gotta deal with what the good Lord gave us too. You gotta talk about what a great place when it comes to our winter climates. You know, our babies don't remain closed up in any place till the spring comes. As you know, here we have two seasons. We have summer and spring. And so those babies are exposed to the outdoors, getting those muscles going, building those bones. It's a great place to work because of the weather and the training and conditioning opportunities. We have two nice racetracks that kind of can appeal to different sets of horses while having commonality in some really big races, and they believe in it. So we have those outlets here. You know, Marion County, if you're into the farming end, breeding end of it, it's like Lexington, but with some palm trees and just much nicer weather. Plus, we got everything you can do in Florida, and we do have a great deal of credibility and awareness for our industry and what we do in the state. So all those combined, I think, you know, plus, let's face it, you guys see it. You know, I did most of my growing up in the West Coast and a lot of time in California and L.A. Nothing gets more laid back than over here in Florida. I mean, even when you're having a tough, intense day, you still feel like a Floridian, you know. And I don't know. Of all the places I've lived, I've been here going 6 years now. I can't think of a better place to race, breed, train, condition, or quite honestly, just to live. We just absolutely love it here.
Yeah, Lonnie, you've done an amazing job with everything FTBOA related, and we can't thank you enough for your support of what we're doing here throughout Saturdays at Gulfstream and throughout the year. FTBOA is right there with us every step of the way, and we really do appreciate it. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And, of course, people can wear what they love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Lonnie, appreciate it, my friend, and look forward to seeing you out here later this afternoon.
All right, guys. Keep cashing those tickets all day long, man.
Sounds good.
We'll do our best.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Lonnie Powell, the CEO and Executive Vice President of the FTBOA, and he brings up a good point there at the end of the interview, guys, talking about the weather here in Florida and that the babies don't have to be inside very often. They can be out being horses and, he said, developing those muscles. And, you know, some people would say that makes a big difference.
Oh, it's fantastic. And if you've ever been down to Ocala and seen the farms, there's a lot of beautiful farms in Ocala. It's a nice place to raise a horse. And as you mentioned, a great place to live. It's great to work outside as much as possible.
All right, we're going to get to a short commercial break. When we come back, Mike Nyman, the Director of Marketing, will sit in with us and tell you all about what you can expect when you come out to the Pegasus World Cup. And, of course, he'll look ahead to the rest of the meet as well, including that Florida Derby coming up on April 1st. And, hey, you know what we'll do, too? We'll update you on our poll question that we threw out there at the beginning of the show. And let's see which horse is winning the poll. We'll do that next here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dreyfong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dreyfong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Racing fans, the moment has arrived. Legendary California Chrome gets his rematch with Breeders' Cup Classic champion Arrogate in the inaugural running of the $12 million Pegasus World Cup Invitational Saturday from Gulfstream Park. Make plans to be a part of it here at Santa Anita as America's top two horses square off for perhaps the final time. Come early, as Saturday is also Cal Cup Sunshine Millions Day at Santa Anita, and we'll have special early first post time at 12 noon. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
When you're competing at the Grade 1 level, you need an edge.
As Competitive Edge goes on with it now to take over the lead.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead.
His edge was speed.
Competitive Edge, the winner by 4.5 lengths.
Opening up to lead by 3, now by 4. Competitive Edge, spectacular once again.
The best 2-year-old by Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver. Competitive Edge.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It is Songbird, this magnificent filly, winning the Alabama. She is a perfect 10.
Champion Songbird once again dominated her rivals in the historic Grade 1 Alabama at Saratoga last summer, part of a 2016 campaign that would see her crown Eclipse Champion 3-year-old filly, making her only the 6th filly since the inception of the awards in 1971 to win an Eclipse Award at both 2 and 3. Songbird's powerful win in the Grade 1 Alabama is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro was ranked among the nation's elite sires once again in 2016. The sire of one of the all-time greats in Horse of the Year, Rachel Alexandra, part of 16 Grade 1 winners produced by Medaglia d'Oro so far, including Golden Slipper Hero Vancouver and Don Handicap winner Emshuish. His current superstars are the brilliant 7-time Grade 1 winner Songbird and 2016 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf winner New Money Honey. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Pegasus World Cup Day here at Gulfstream Park. Mike Penna, Jude Fell, Jeff Bloom with you here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, getting you set for that $12 million race, the world's richest horse race, and it's going to be held right here in South Florida. The weather couldn't be perfect. Supposed to be low 70s. Fast main track for the Pegasus, firm turf course. What a day of racing it is here in Gulfstream Park, and we are happy to have you back with us here on the Equine Forum. One quick update before we get to Mike Nyman, who is the Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream. Our poll question that we sent out at the beginning of the show, and you can still weigh in. You can weigh in on our social media feed at HRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. We asked you if you were taking any of these candidates in today's Pegasus World Cup, Arrowgate, California Chrome, or the field. We'll give you everybody else. Who are you going to take? And so far, who do you think's ahead?
California Chrome.
Jeff?
California Chrome.
Mike?
Naturally.
It's Chrome. It's Chrome. It is. 48% to 43%. Arrowgate second with 43%. The field, everybody else, no respect. 9% for everybody else.
Something.
Yeah. I asked people to specify, too. I'll have to flip back through and see which horse or horses people are picking to maybe pull off the upset. What a day of racing, Mike. Congratulations. What a day.
When you say what a day of racing, it's probably, in this building at least, this is the most unbelievable card I've ever seen. I mean, it tops any card, racing card that's been going on here. I mean, you get 12 amazing races here. You know, you see races like a $400,000 undercard race, the Poseidon, and on a typical day that would, you know, draw a good racing crowd just for a race like that.
Yep.
It's the second-tier race on the card today. So
we talked about it at the top of the show.
Card.
Yeah.
Fabulous card.
We've never seen anything like it. I mean, Florida Derby Day is always such a big day here. This is a whole other level today.
Yep. We're expecting to eclipse all the records in this building, which were eclipsed last year at the Florida Derby, and we're looking to surpass that at this event.
Talk about some of the things that people can expect when they come out here today.
It's going to be an amazing day. I mean, it's so much different than anything we've ever done here, especially, I think, with the crowds. Since this race has been announced, the amount of emails we receive from people, not only around the United States, but from around the world that have come in today. This race is, obviously, it's on national TV. It's being shown in 122 countries. The number of media that came over here from Abu Dhabi, France, Australia, Japan, it's just off the hook. Nothing like I've ever seen, you know, maybe in comparison to a Breeders' Cup, but just everything has been amazing. So people, of course, you mentioned the weather is going to be great out here. Of course, it's a ticketed event, which it will work out well to handle the size of the crowd here. We're going to have entertainment and music and a lot of things that you typically may not see here at Gulfstream. And it's just going to be a fabulous day for the fans. And, of course, they get a lot of extra amenities here to be here on a long day. We have the village. We have all kinds of events going on over there. We have a famous painter who's making a mural of the Pegasus that she'll be creating. It'll be unveiled just right before the race, right across from right here where we're sitting, right over in Champions Plaza. Of course, our casinos are open. So there's a lot of things going on, you know, with the racing and give people just a great festive day here. So it's going to be amazing. I haven't slept in a week, and I'm not tired at all. I mean, the adrenaline is pumping. I couldn't wait for this day.
Well, go ahead.
But Mike, we were talking earlier about just around town. You know, we got in early and into the area, and you get in an Uber car, and the Uber driver's talking about the Pegasus World Cup, and just when you go to a restaurant. And so the local community clearly has embraced the event. Such a new event, to be able to attract that kind of attention and create that kind of buzz, it must be a good feeling for you.
It's amazing, and especially in a market like this. This is not, you know, like being in maybe Louisville or Lexington and smaller markets where really racing dominates everything. We're in a large market. Demographically, it's probably one of the most mixed markets in the United States, which is a great thing. It's a challenge, but, you know, we seem to be able to get the word out to everybody. And, of course, we deal with a very large Hispanic population here, so we do a lot of Hispanic advertising. So, you know, to make those customers feel comfortable here, a lot of them are big racing fans that have come from South America, where racing is big as well, and some of the Caribbean countries. So it's, you know, it's just a good day for everybody, and it's just I'm just glad it's here.
Well, I think what a lot of people don't realize, and it's a tribute to what you do here, is that there's so much time involved in planning an event like this if it's your usual event. Some of these events take 2-3 years of planning. You only had since Preakness time to put this all together.
That's true.
That's amazing to have that short a period of time for a major worldwide event like this.
Well, I have to say, we have a great crew here and all the leadership. You know, it starts with Tim Ritvo, our president, and then filters right down. I work with some great people here. Everybody's really committed to this business, wants people to have a great experience when they come here. Very, you know, on point with customer service. And we just want everybody to feel the same excitement that we all feel. There's a lot of racing people here working in the company, so they get it. They understand the game and what it's all about. So it's, you know, this is just for us. It's a great showcase. It's a great day. And it looks like it's the weather, which everybody always worries about. It's going to be a picture-perfect day here.
Well, we told folks in the first half of the program that when they tune in to the coverage this afternoon beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern, they're going to hear the coverage in both English and Spanish because we'll be broadcasting it in English, but Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma, and Hall of Fame jockey Ramon Dominguez will be bringing you all the coverage of Pegasus World Cup Day in Spanish at hrnenespanol.com. All that coverage throughout the year is presented by our friends right here at Gulfstream Park. So, Mike, thanks for that support. I know you mentioned reaching out to the Hispanic community. You've also brought in a new initiative that you and I talked about at Breeders' Cup, which is the Gulfstream Park Race Day Radio. So when people come to the track today, they'll be able to purchase a Race Day Radio. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so I'll have a Race Day Radio. It's a small piece that fits on your ear. You can pick it up either in the Silk Simulcasting Room or upstairs up on the second floor where we're at right now in a Sport of Kings. It's $10. You have two channels, one channel broadcast, channel one in English, channel two for Spanish. Up until 4 o'clock, you'll be able to hear all the calls of the race, all the local handicappers, and then at 4, we'll switch to the HRR on broadcast for both English and Spanish. And people always ask me, well, what do I do with the radio when I'm not here? It's got FM on it, so you got an FM radio when you're walking or jogging. You can plug it right into your ear, and you're ready to go. And, of course, when you're here on any race day, bring it with you because you'll be able to be piped into our audio system and be able to hear all our great handicappers as well as Pete Aiello, who does a great job in calling the races here for us.
That is too cool. And this is something, Jude, you and I have been talking about this for a long time. We did these radios. HRN did them at Breeders' Cup this year. They were a massive success. Mike, you were walking around with one in your ear for both days of the Breeders' Cup. And we had so many people tell us that we need to do these at other events. Well, Mike Nyman saw the value. He stepped up and said, hey, let's bring them to Gulfstream. So
yeah,
looking forward to it.
We want to connect the fans when they're here. A lot of times we understand, you know, people are walking around. You don't always hear the call in certain spots or the audio isn't loud enough. I happen to be hearing impaired. I'm challenged a little bit. I wear hearing aids. I'm not ashamed to mention that. But when the race call is going on and I can have a radio like that in my ear and I hear everything so crystal clear, it makes the whole day much better and you feel much more connected to the whole event.
Yeah, certainly. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, with us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, let's talk about what we're going to see later today with that Pegasus World Cup. 12 horses, a $7 million winner's share in this race, and you have the two best horses in the world with Chrome and Arrowgate. You couldn't have asked for anything more for this inaugural.
No, for a marketing person, it makes it very simple because, you know, everything we've really pushed out the last couple of weeks is all about the Arrogate-Chrome matchup, the rematch from the Breeders' Cup. They were just voted number one and two in the world on the dirt, which is, huge for us, and that's why there's so much international interest in this race. But, you know, you look at the rest of the horses, it's a pretty good field in there, and I think we've all been around the game long enough, and we've seen some of the biggest upsets. I remember at the Belmont with War Emblem going for the Triple Crown, you know, getting upset. Well, was that the one with Severo won?
Yeah, Saraba.
Saraba,
yeah,
I mean, was like 60-1 or whatever he was, and you looked in the form and wouldn't have thought he had a chance, and boom, he wins the race. So that's what's great about racing. You just never know on any particular day what you may get. I know a lot of people are rooting for Chrome, and it's his last race, and, you know, like to see him go out a winner. But, you know, I never sell anybody else in the race short, especially with all the great trainers and jockeys that are in this event. It's just, a great thing, so.
Yeah, and there's 7 million reasons to win it, so everybody's belly down.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, that's going to be spectacular. Again, our coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And you can listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net and throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93. So make sure you're locked into that coverage later today. Mike, how about the rest of the meet? We talked about being here and providing Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage here on the network. We're looking forward to that on our end. But what are some of the things that Gulfstream's looking forward to as we make our way down that road to, say, the Kentucky Derby with races like the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby on April 1st?
Well, we start next Saturday, a week from today, with the Holy Bull.
Yep.
So we'll kick that off. That's our first series of three races for the three-year-olds that are competing for the Triple Crown. As we like to say, Triple Crown, you know, runs through Gulfstream Park. We saw the winner of the Florida Derby last year go on to win the Kentucky Derby Nyquist. So we start with the Florida Derby. I'm sorry, with next week with the Holy Bull. Then 4 weeks later, the first Saturday in February, we'll move to the. I'm sorry, in March we go to the Fountain of Youth.
Yep.
And then April 1st we'll cap it off with the Florida Derby. So, you know, you got a lot of big days. Every Saturday we always have major stakes races as it is. But of course, this 3 year old series, you know, really is a big part of our meet and really kind of lays the foundation and groundwork right into the Triple Crown.
You know, it seems like every time that we get a chance to visit, we talk about marketing those events to not only the local people here, trying to get them out to the races, but nationally, and trying to get people to bet on them nationally through the simulcast outlets. But how about an event like today? Were there some differences in the way you had to approach your marketing plan to putting it together for the Pegasus?
Well, this is a little bit different for us, yes, because this is really a corporate event. This came from the Stronach Group, Frank Stronach's brainchild, his idea. So the corporation, which is based in Toronto, really kind of took over the event. They hired PR companies and marketing companies and different event companies for this event. We played more of a role here of taking everything, taking care of everything on the ground. So typically we're in my role for all these other events. I'm planning all the marketing and advertising and the creative and everything that's pushed out. This really came from a more of a corporate event. That's why they set up a separate website, PegasusWorldCup.com. It gives the Stronachs an opportunity to move this race around to their other racetracks. So we'll see how that all plays out and what they'll be announcing after today. I'm not sure what they're going to, where it's going to be next year. We're here or at another one of the Stronach tracks. But whatever it's going to be, it'll obviously be another great event. They're already talking about a big turf race next year, probably bring more international type of horses in there. So this thing is just going to grow.
Yeah, and they brought in some heavy hitters on the celebrity side of things to do some promotion. Conor McGregor, MMA star, yep, was doing a lot of the publicity. And then Thomas Rhett, country music superstar, is going to be here to handle a lot of the entertainment today.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So it's just, like I said, it's just really ratcheting up to these top days, you know, Triple Crown days and Breeders' Cup, and we're going to be shoulder to shoulder with all those type of events.
Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream, doing a phenomenal job. The place is electric. It has been since we arrived here on Wednesday, and it's been for a lot longer than that. Mike, we appreciate all the support, my friend. Thank you for everything, and enjoy Pegasus World Cup Day.
And we thank you guys. It's just been a great partnership and a great relationship. You guys do a great job for the racing fan, and I love listening to you as a fan myself, besides, you know, being an employee in the business.
Thanks, my friend. Thank you. Mike Nyman, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to a short break. We'll come back. Your KTA KTOB Spotlight segment is next, and then we'll visit with Fred Hoff, who is the Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home of the 2017 Pegasus World Cup.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're coming to the top of the stretch, and California Chrome makes his move for the lead. It is California Chrome on the outside. Samrat runs at him with the gate pole. California Chrome is pulling away. California Chrome into the final furlong. He's got a five-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front. And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. Commanding Curve was second. And then came Danza in third. The final time, 2 minutes, 3.66 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN, live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, getting you ready for that $12 million Pegasus World Cup later today, post time 5:40 Eastern in our coverage, 4 to 6 Eastern. Make sure you join us right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can head over to horseracingradio.net to check out a listing of affiliates and, of course, all that SiriusXM information, and to listen worldwide, it's right there at horseracingradio.net. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom overlooking the walking ring. The fountain's now in full regalia, getting set for a big, big day of racing. The first post, what, 11:30, JT? Is that right? Yeah, 11:30 this morning, the first post for this Pegasus World Cup day. California Chrome took the Kentucky Derby. He's the big story here in South Florida, but the big story in Texas this weekend is the huge night of racing coming up at Sam Houston tomorrow, and you're going to get a chance to check out the John B. Connolly Turf Cup and that Houston Ladies Classic, which is worth $400,000, always an outstanding horse race. And to talk more about that, Fred Hoff, the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston, is with us here on the Equine Forum. Frank, welcome to the program.
Morning, guys. I hope you guys are having a good morning over at Gulfstream today.
Yeah, nice over here. A little chilly at the moment. I know that people don't want to hear that in other parts of the country, but only about 60 degrees right now and a bit of a breeze, but it's going to be gorgeous with temperatures in the low 70s by the time we get to race time in a little bit. How about in Texas? How's everything down there in Sam Houston?
Now, everything's going well. We start the season last Friday, and certainly looking forward to this weekend of racing at the track, and obviously the big day over there. Certainly great for horse racing as a whole early in the 2017 season.
Well, you've got a nice bunch of races on tap tomorrow night, and you're really looking forward to that card. You've got a really nice pick four and a couple of graded stakes. It's a great night for Sam Houston.
Yeah, we're certainly looking forward to, we moved the day to Sunday, try to get some new exposure to customers that don't necessarily see us during the day, especially over the weekend. So we're real excited. In the last few years, a lot of hard work's been put into, getting this card together. And, we're certainly pleased with, the support we get from, Mr. Jones and Mr. Maker and some of the top trainers that like to bring some of their horses over to Houston for our big races.
Frank, what does a night like tomorrow night, when you look at the John B. Connolly Turf Cup and then that Houston Ladies Classic, both of those grade threes, what does an event like that and an evening like that mean to racing in the state of Texas?
Well, it's certainly important. Obviously racing in Texas is certainly has its struggles. So, anytime we can get some exposure, not only on the big races and on some of the national horses that, even some of the undercard overnights, some of the Texas breds get a chance to get to show themselves to a national audience. So, it's a big day. Hopefully, with the Super Bowl and all the excitement coming down here for that, we'll get some local support as well from our customer base.
Yeah, are there already people in town for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I believe they're slowly coming in. I believe the teams fly in tomorrow sometime in the afternoon, so I'm sure the fans of the Patriots and Falcons will be joining shortly.
Maybe you get a few of those players to head out there to Sam Houston tomorrow night.
Exactly. That's certainly we're certainly hoping they'll look for something to do on a Sunday afternoon and make it out to the track.
Although I'll give you this advice, Frank. If Tom Brady and the Patriots try to come out, just don't let them in. I'm a big Steeler fan. It didn't go so well for us last weekend.
Yeah, my father is from Pittsburgh, so I haven't talked to him since the game. So I'm sure he feels the same way.
Well, fill us in on the fields that we're going to see in those two grade threes tomorrow night, the Connolly and then, of course, the Houston Ladies Classic. Let's start with the Connolly.
Yeah, so obviously, the top three are probably coming from Mike Maker's stable. We're looking forward to having Oscar-nominated and Green Grass of Wyoming and Bigger Picture coming out. And then, obviously, we got Hey Dakota that's also heading over here. So I think, looking at those four would probably be the first look for anyone to handicap. So, obviously they've got some graded company and, Oscar nominated coming in and, after the Derby looking to move, has moved over to the turf. And so hopefully this would be a good spot for him to move forward with his rest of his season.
Yeah, Oscar nominated's a really nice horse. A full brother now to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner, Oscar Performance.
Yeah, nice to have those kind of horses in a big race like that. And then, of course, the Houston Ladies Classic. Frank, you're looking at horses like Unbridled Mo, who is 3-1 on the morning line. And then, of course, I'm a Chatterbox, 6-5 morning line favorite, and Family Tree, who is 9-5. And you start attracting those kind of names to your facility, and all of a sudden you got something, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I'm a Chatterbox, and Larry Jones he's had some success in the Houston Ladies Classic in the years past, and we're certainly excited to have a horse of that quality coming here, and along with Unbridled Mo and Family Tree, and Mr. Asmussen's brought over is going to give Danza Trice a try. So yeah, I mean, not bad to have three of the horses that have had some grade one races under their belt. So. Certainly excited to see those horses come out and have a real good race, and hopefully they have success the rest of the season.
Talking to Frank Hoff, who is the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Frank, from your perspective, how early do you have to start your recruiting process to get those horses there for these big races?
You know, we start to look and target, you know, right after the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, usually when the racing office starts reaching out to the trainers, they're usually waiting until the first of the year. You know, fortunately, with all the work that's been done in the past, a lot of these guys are aware of it. It's just, you know, they, you know, we'll start calling them, you know, first of January and get back in their mind and, you know, obviously continue to just reach out to them and, you know, especially a couple days before nominations close, you know, we're certainly on the phone and making sure that they're, we're on their landscape and ready to go.
What's your sales pitch to them? Why Sam Houston? Why do they want to run there?
I think our biggest selling point is our both of our surfaces. I mean, our dirt and turf tracks are, you know, certainly top in the country, and I'm sure most of those trainers that have run at Sam Houston will certainly agree. And obviously, you know, we've got some sun and we've got some warm temperatures compared to the north, and you know, that's certainly our biggest selling pitch to anyone who wants to come down to Houston for a week in January.
Frank Hoff joining us here on HRRN. Frank, tell me a little bit about what we can expect from the wagering side. Jude mentioned the pick four. When folks come out or they start playing the races around the country via simulcast tomorrow, what can they expect?
Well, they're certainly going to expect, you know, some nice fields, you know, large, hopefully some large wagering pools. You know, obviously our multi-legs will, you know, at 12%, which is certainly a nice low takeout for those particular pools. You know, we've got the all-stakes pick five and then followed up with the all-stakes pick four. So certainly trying to give, you know, the customers out there some opportunities to, you know, bet in some nice pools and hopefully have a nice little payout to take home and put in their wallets.
Well, Frank, it's going to be a great evening of racing, and we can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us here on the show to fill people in, let them know what they can expect, and walk through that card a little bit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and of course, people can wear what they love at embracetherace.com. Appreciate the time, Frank, and all the best tomorrow.
Thank you very much, guys, for giving me an opportunity to talk, and have a good day over there in southern Florida.
Thanks, my friend. Frank Hoff with us here on HRRN from Sam Houston. Again, a big night there tomorrow, and looking forward to that night and looking forward to what we're going to see here later today, guys. The big event, the $12 million Pegasus World Cup. We've talked about it for the past couple of hours. The talk is almost finished with us anyways until we come back at 4 Eastern, and then it's time for the horses to do the talking.
Yeah, absolutely, and what a race it's going to be. Really looking forward to it.
What do you think, Chrome or Arrowgate?
How many times are you going to ask us that question?
Well, it's
waiting
for me to change my mind, I think.
Yeah. You see the reason.
Is it a trick question?
It's a trick question because it's like either one could win, right?
No, either one could win. That was profound. You're only going to get that right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, we just call them as we see
them. Or somebody else could win.
Well.
That too.
We found out that somebody else is 9% to win.
So. Well, yeah.
That might have changed.
The reason I led you
I
in
see
that
where
direction.
You're going with this.
It was called a segue here in the business. And the reason I did that is so that I could update the poll question one more time.
Drum roll, please.
Who do you think's winning now?
Drum roll?
Who do you think's winning now?
California Chrome.
You are correct, sir. California Chrome, 49% to 42% for Arrowgate. So he's widening his advantage as we edge closer to the end of the program. And the field still sitting at 9%.
Yeah.
I'm flipping through to see who some of the field horses are that people have mentioned. Let's see.
I wonder if there's some horses mentioned that aren't even in the
Shaman
race.
Ghost. We got a vote for Shaman Ghost.
I could see that.
Yeah, he's got a chance.
Yeah, I could definitely see him pulling off that upset in here. Looking ahead to a race like the Dubai World Cup, which we're going to have coverage of again here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this year, that's about, what, a month away, a little bit more than that?
It's about two months away. It's actually perfect timing from this race.
So this race won't have any impact on the American participation there because horses that compete here could easily
absolutely
make the trip.
It's perfect timing, especially after running in a race like this. Of this magnitude, that's probably ideal spacing.
The impact's going to be California Chrome's not running in it this year.
People might be a little bit more interested in taking a look.
Do you think Arrowgate goes?
Particular race.
I think there's a good
why
chance he'll go.
I mean, obviously it depends on what happens today, but
Mr. Baffert and Sheikh Mohammed are pals.
Now, granted, the purse is a little bit lower than what they're running for today.
But that could change.
It could change. But yes, why wouldn't
that's
they go?
A good point. How long do you think that Sheikh Mo is going to let that go on where all of a sudden Gulfstream has the richest horse race in the world after he's been putting up that kind of money for
years.
Well,
I'll tell you, if it was me, that would it wouldn't take long. It would take about 2 months.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me a bit if they say, hey, wait a minute, all of a sudden this is the $15 million Dubai World Cup. And then where does it end?
All you got to go is $12.5
million. Yeah, but you know they're not doing that, right?
But that was one of the smart moves about, you know, all of the little things that went into planning and putting this concept together for the Pegasus World Cup. Timing. And where do you fit it on the calendar so that it doesn't detract, but it actually enhances or adds value to the overall scheme of things. And really, it's ideal spacing. You come out of the Breeders' Cup Classic, you had enough time coming out of that race, and it's perfect spacing looking forward to the Dubai World Cup.
Yeah, and this is typically the time of year when we would be here to broadcast the Don Handicap. And this is a race that's taken the place of the Don Handicap, and obviously for a heck of a lot more money than what the Don was before. You know, as a traditionalist, I love the Don Handicap. It was one of those races that I, you know, just grew up watching, and it was kind of the first big race of the year for the older horses. But look, I mean, you throw up a race like the Pegasus World Cup, I can get used to that one pretty quick, too.
Yeah, well, you just change the name to protect the innocents.
Right.
Poor Mr. Don loses his race, though.
Some people have wondered how this race could be a graded race, though, right? Because you look at the conditions of the race, and some people said, hey, wait a minute, this is an invitational type, right? It's a restricted race, right? So I don't know. You had that argument kind of lobbied out there, too.
I think the amount of the purse just trumped everything else. Yeah. And it's a unique situation because you're right. One could make a case, well, this race has never been run before, and it is that type of race where because it's an invitational, you kind of do have it somewhat restricted, but it's also $12 million.
Well, it's only restricted to the best horses in the world is kind of the restriction, right?
But it's also
got $1 million to put up and buy a slot.
I was just going to say.
But once the 12 spots are gone.
Because it's not necessarily the best horses in the world because those slots might not necessarily equate to the horses that are running in those slots, right? So, I mean,
it could.
Or here's a for instance. Yeah. You know, take Mick Ruiz, who bought a slot, and he, you know, was trying to put a deal together where he would give his slot to Gunrunner. It didn't work out with the quarantine situation in Louisiana. He's you know, going to get automatically for running in the race with his slot $250,000. So he's running a horse in there. Now, you look at the horse he's running in there, and certainly not one of the best horses in the world.
But yeah, War
so it's kind of an interesting scenario, really, for a race of this magnitude, of this the purse being the size that it is.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Noble Bird at all over the course of the past couple of hours, and I know that he wasn't a horse that either one of you selected as your upsetter in here. Noble Bird is a horse that on his day has run some monster races, including a couple of starts back at Keeneland in the Grade 2 Fayette. That was last October. What do you think of a horse like Noble Bird?
Well, we'll go to the national anthem, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, we will pause here for a moment as we honor America. And we do apologize if you could not hear that playing of the national anthem through our microphones here. We didn't have the call patched into the system or anything like that, but there is one thing that I absolutely will not do on this program or any of our programs, and that's talk over the national anthem. So we were talking about Noble Bird, guys. Noble Bird, a horse that on his day has run some big races. Is he a horse that has an opportunity to pull off a shocker here today?
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wrote interesting. Right, I couldn't cross him off my list, and I didn't include him in my early who are the weirdo horses to upset. But he's an interesting horse in here because he is talented. He's a good racehorse.
Yeah, he's the kind of horse that needs a lead. I can't see him going wire to wire. I think that the two big horses are faster than he is. But, you know, he if he gets out there on a nice, easy lead, he's tough.
The gates are open. The people are filing in. It's going to be a huge day here on Pegasus World Cup Day. We're back 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Sirius XM 93, horseracingradio.net, and affiliates around the country. You can visit our website for that listing and check out the Spanish broadcast coming up 10 o'clock Eastern Time with Oblando de Abismo. And then after that, their race coverage at 4 Eastern, all presented by Gulfstream Park. That's at hrnenespanol.com. Our thanks to all of our special guests for joining us here this morning. For our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our studio. For our producer, Sean C., with us. For Jude Feld and Jeff Bloom, I'm Mike Pena. Thanks for listening.
Good night, Barbados.